Welcome to the Take the Kingdom Bible School, where we study God's Word to help you fulfill God's plan for your life. Thanks for joining us. It's really a privilege to be here with you. Today's lesson is lesson number 2 in our Knowing God course, titled Rest. The theme of today's class is God wants us to rest in Him. You know, last class we were talking about perfection, and that was the title of the lesson. Perfection. And I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where I felt that God wanted me to be holy, but I just couldn't attain it. And I tried and I failed, and perfection, which is what God has destined for us, seems unattainable. But I didn't want to quit because I thought, you know, if I quit on my destiny, on my purpose in life, what's going to become of me? And I couldn't fathom quitting, but I couldn't figure out how to actually do it, how to live a holy life, how to be more like Jesus. And it became extremely stressful. That's the best way to describe it. Extremely stressful. There's few things that stress you out as much as when you know you're supposed to do something, but you can't, or you don't know how to do it right, or you're failing at it constantly. That's when things get really stressful. Think about a job. When you get a new job, maybe in a career that you've never done before, the people that have more experience, they look chill, they look calm, they look like they know what they're doing. But especially when you're a teacher or something, that first year is insane. It's so, so stressful. I mean, even with all the training and everything that you could have had, you're still not fully prepared for what that really means to be in charge of that classroom. And so you're putting in extra hours, and other teachers that know what they're doing, they're chill. Because they figured it out. They've learned a lot. And I was so stressed out trying to figure out how to walk with God. It was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of stress, a lot of failures. And I remember telling one of my cousins one time, I wish I could stop fighting. Because I want to rest. But I feel like I'm always fighting and never reaching it, and so stressed out, so overburdened with my Christian life. Yet I couldn't quit because I knew this is where it's at. God is here. But the Lord wants to tell us today that He doesn't want you to be stressed. He wants you to rest. He doesn't want you to be stressful. He wants you to be restful. Really, that's what God wants for all of us. That's what He wants to tell us. That His life with Him is a restful life. By definition, it has to be restful. That's what it means to walk with God, to be at rest with God. In the Old Testament, when God instituted the priesthood, the priests that were to minister to God, they had to wear linen. All of their garments were made of linen. And it specifically says they could not wear wool or mix it with wool. And the image is that linen is something very fresh, keeps you cool, and you wouldn't sweat if you're wearing linen. Wool is very hot and makes you sweat. God was saying, I don't want you to sweat. I don't want you to break a sweat in your service to me. And in the same way, God is telling us, our walk with God shouldn't be stressful. We shouldn't be breaking a sweat because of our own human effort and our own strength. Instead, we should be cool and relaxed and at peace as we rest in the strength and the power of God. Now, that sounds all very good. But how can we do that? Let's take a look at what the scriptures have to say about this. I want to take you first to the very beginning, to Adam and Eve in the garden. Y'all ready? It says in Genesis chapter 3. Do y'all remember what happened there in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve were in the garden. Everything was beautiful. Everything was at peace. They had a relationship with God. But there was this one tree they couldn't eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They couldn't eat from it. But there was another tree that was called the tree of life, and they could eat from that one. So one day the devil came by, and we know the story. He tempted Eve, and he told her unto the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that is amazing, that men and women, Adam and Eve, did not know good and evil. Makes it pretty clear there. They had a relationship with God. They had everything taken care of. They had peace and joy. Incredible. They would never die. But they didn't know good or evil. They didn't know the difference. It's like a child. Think about a little baby when the dad tells them, you know, don't touch that. You know, don't touch the stove. Or don't run out in the street. He doesn't really know good and evil. He just knows his dad said don't do it. He doesn't really know all the repercussions of burning himself, unless he had already been burned, or the repercussions of running out in the street. He doesn't know anything. He just knows dad said so, and that's what we're going to do, or I'm going to get spanking or whatever. But God says to Adam and Eve, look, you guys are going to be in here. You're with me. You have a relationship with me, but you're not going to know good and evil. If you ever want to know good and evil, there's a tree, but I'm telling you, don't eat from it. But you have the option. So Eve, in that moment, had to make a decision, which all of us have to make each and every day. Am I going to be okay just having God? Am I going to be happy just with the Lord, knowing Him and loving Him and trusting Him? And He knows everything and I don't know anything, but He has everything in control and I trust Him as my Father. Or am I going to try to make decisions on my own? Do I want to know good and evil? Do I want to be wise? Do I want to be like God in that sense? And in our human nature, we want to be, you know, in our fallen nature, we want to be like gods a lot of times. We want to be like God. We want to know what's right. We want to know what's wrong and be able to choose and control our own life, control our own destiny, be wise. We've even called ourselves, or science has called us, Homo sapiens. It means he who knows, the man who knows. We know. And then now they're calling us Homo sapiens sapien. The whole idea that we're evolving into something bigger and better. Well, now we're not even Homo sapiens anymore. We are man who knows that he knows. Oh man, our knowledge is so great. But that was our downfall. Because in choosing knowledge rather than God, we fell into the trap of the devil. Because you see, they had an option there that was always there. What was that other tree? It was the tree of life. And I believe this tree represents Jesus. And Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the life, a personal relationship of faith and trust and love with Jesus, the Son of God, is life. That's where life is found. He is the life. But they had that tree all the time, and they were never really cared about it. I bet you they walked near that garden. They really didn't care for that tree. They never tried to eat from it, even though God told them they could. He never said they couldn't eat from it. Yet they didn't eat from it at all, because they didn't value it. They didn't value having more of that life, more of that relationship with Jesus, with God. They didn't really value it, because that's how we are. A lot of times we don't value what we have until we lose it. But a lot of times we lose it and then we want it back. Oh man, I want it. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They chose to be the gods of their own life in the sense of knowing good and evil. They weren't children anymore, just trusting their father. They knew what was right and wrong. They were going to make the choices, and they were going to choose right, or at least have the option to choose right or wrong. But you know what they lost? That life. The life which is found in God and that connection with Him. So God sent a cherubim. He kicked them out of the garden because they couldn't be there anymore. And He put cherubim to protect the garden so that they wouldn't come back and try to eat from the tree of life. Why would they want to eat from it now? They had been there for who knows how long. They had never bothered to eat from it. Why do they want it now? The same reason we a lot of times want to seek God when we're in trouble. When our life starts to fall apart, or things are difficult, or we want solution to certain problems, we don't have the right attitude. We don't have the intention of trusting God, of loving God, of coming to Him on His terms. We want to just go in there and eat the fruit of life and fix the problem. Because they had the problem now that they were dying. They had eaten the fruit of the tree, they had sinned, and they started to die. And they would want to go in there and fix the problem. And God is saying, you have to want me, for who I am. Not, you know, just because you got a problem, try to solve it by coming and getting what I might be able to give you. So, brothers and sisters, that is the basis for our relationship with God. That rest in God, rejecting, even today, every day, rejecting the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Rejecting it and saying, I don't want to know the difference between good and evil. I don't want to have the choice. I don't want to be the God of my own life. I don't even want to know, for example, a temptation comes across my life. I don't want to know that it's available and then make the right choice. No, I want to be like an innocent child that doesn't even know it's available. Because I am a child and I'm trusting my Father. I am so connected with Jesus, trusting in God, resting in Him, that I'm not even aware of these things. I am not the God of my own life. I am at rest. I'm at peace. And that's what God wants for you and me. God wants us to be at rest. Adam and Eve, they made that terrible choice to choose knowledge over God. But God is asking you, look, if you would choose me over knowledge and rest in me and trust in me as a child, you will have peace. I will take care of you. I will be your all in all. I'll be everything to you. Praise God. When we say rest, it's really equal with trust. What does it mean to trust in God? Look what it says in a beautiful verse here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is what it means to rest. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Look at that. Imagine telling today's sophisticated intellectual person, don't trust in your understanding. They would laugh at you. They would call you an idiot. Don't trust in your knowledge. Don't trust in your own reasoning. Don't trust in your own brain, basically what it's saying. Trust in God. But that the spirit of this world is so opposite to that. The spirit of this world says, no, no, I'm going to trust in myself. And if I, through my reasoning, find God, then I'll trust God. What they're really saying is, I'll trust in my decision. But God is saying, you have to trust in me and relinquish your right to choose your own way and to trust in yourself and trust in me. And then you will see the truth. Remember Jesus, when he was talking to Mary, she came and said, Lord, if you had come here earlier, my brother wouldn't have died, Lazarus, you know, because Jesus didn't come in time, supposedly, to heal Lazarus. So Jesus told her, have I not told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You see, that's the way God works. First, you trust Him. First, you believe in Him like a child. And you will see. That's a promise. You will see the glory of God. We have seen the glory of God. But it didn't come until we trusted, until we rested in God. Gave up our own strength, our own effort, our own knowledge, our own understanding. No longer leaned on that, but just acknowledged Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge Him? When someone comes in the room and you don't acknowledge them, it means you act like they're not there. And so often in our lives, that's how we are with God. God is always with us. We know He's there, but we act like He's not there. A problem, a day, a situation, a person comes into our life and we face it as if God weren't there. But to walk by faith, resting and trusting in God is the opposite. It means to acknowledge God. It means once God, He walks into the room, He takes all of your attention. Everything else in the room suddenly is second place. Everything else in the room takes a different place, a different, its proper perspective. God is number one now. and everything in this room, all the situation, these persons, all these problems, anything, my life itself, my day, everything, my future, suddenly is interpreted by the fact that God is here. And it means what it means only in the light of the fact that God is here. And after I acknowledge that God is here, when we rest in God like that, then our life becomes a restful place. And we had a class recently, and we were discussing this topic. How much effort does it take to be a Christian? Some people said, well, it takes a lot of effort. All of the effort, frankly. Others said, well, no, it takes no effort because we can't do it. And so we had that discussion, and the truth is, yes, we're supposed to put effort into this Christian life. It takes effort. And let's just read a few scriptures that talk about effort. Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. That sounds like effort to me. Matthew 13:46, who, when he had found a pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It takes all that you've got to have Jesus. Look what it says in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That takes effort. That takes all you've got. Look what it says in Joshua 22:5, a very popular verse. God tells Joshua, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, brothers and sisters, it does take all you've got. It does take effort to walk with God. But here's the thing where people get really off track. Your effort has to be an effort of faith. You have to fight to rest in God. You have to fight to trust in God. And the devil a lot of times has us over here fighting in our own strength to overcome temptation, fighting to be a good person, fighting to think the right thoughts, fighting to solve this problem and be the person we know we're supposed to be. But that's not the fight. That's God's fight, okay? That's his fight. We cannot fight his fight. That's his battles. He will fight those battles, and he always wins because it's him in us. But we're so disconnected from our Lord sometimes. We don't trust him. We don't believe in him, that we're left on our own. So we put on our effort into fighting the temptation or into fighting the situation and fixing the problem. And all of our effort is into fixing that. And the devil's like, yeah, keep going, keep trying. But you know what? That's not what our effort should be. Our effort should be in trusting in God. Our effort should be in resting in God. So the devil is constantly trying to get us to put all of our effort in the wrong place. You see, there's this dichotomy in the Christian life. You're either at perfect rest and it's God doing all the work, or you're stressed out and anxious and unable to do it because it's impossible. Jesus said, with man, it is impossible. You can't get any more difficult, any more hard to do than impossible. Then he turns around and says, but with God, all things are possible. And he explicitly says, he who believes, all things are possible. And you're either in one of those two camps, and either you're trusting in yourself that you know good and evil, that you're the master of your life, you're going to make the choices. And you're going to choose what's right, or at least have the right to choose what's wrong if you want. Or you're going to completely trust in God as a child. In the eyes of the world, you're going to be like an idiot, a fool. But it says in the Bible that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. I'd rather be a fool of God than a fool of the devil thinking I'm wise. Remember what Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I was just thinking about that. Did Paul really mean that? And yes. Paul got it to a point where it wasn't him living anymore. It was Jesus living through him. So Paul wasn't fighting to be a good person. He wasn't fighting to keep the commandments of God and to think good thoughts. And he wasn't fighting to overcome temptation. That wasn't his fight. He was fighting to rest and trust in God. Because if we can just rest fully, relinquish our understanding, our knowledge, our choices even, leave all that behind and just trust in the Lord, believe in Him, where we acknowledge Him as the most real, greatest, most important, most glorious thing in our life, then we will find rest for our souls. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It speaks specifically of this. It's Hebrews 4, 1 to verse 11. This is very important. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, quote, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief." Okay, it sounds really confusing, but here's the point Paul is trying to make. God said in the beginning, you know, the seventh day is my day of rest. Rest the seventh day. And then he says further on, when they entered into the land of Canaan, you're going to enter into rest. But then he says after all of that, that they will not enter into my rest. So he says, there's some rest out there, some rest. And it's not the Sabbath day. It's not the land of Canaan, you know, entering into their land and being at peace there. It's some other rest. He says in verse 7, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, this is what he said in the Psalms, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And then he says in verse 8, "For if Jesus," and here he's talking about Joshua, okay, Joshua from the Old Testament, the successor of Moses. He says, if Joshua, and the reason why it says Jesus here is because Joshua and Jesus in Hebrew are the same word, Yehoshua, Yehoshua. It's Joshua and it's Jesus in Hebrew. So that's why the interpreters put Jesus, but it's obviously clearly referring to Joshua. He says, "For if Joshua, which brought them into the land of Canaan, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" So after the Sabbath day had been instituted, after Joshua took them into the land, obviously that wasn't the rest that God was talking about here in the Psalms. It's some other type of rest. And then he says, "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works." Wow. You see, there's this rest that you and I can enter in. It's not the Sabbath, and it's not entering into the land of Canaan. It's something else. And it says here clearly what it is. When you trust in God fully, you enter into God's rest, which means that you cease from your own works. You're no longer working. You're no longer the one who lives. You're no longer the one thinking and doing. It is God. It is God. It's not you anymore. And verse 11 has the key verse for us. It says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." It says here that you have to labor. That means work and work hard to enter into rest. How does that make sense? You know, I'm either going to rest or I'm going to work. Well, why does it say I got to work to rest? Well, that's exactly what God has called us to do. All of our effort, remember we're talking about effort? All of our effort, all of our prayer, our fasting, our seeking to know God through His Word, and everything we do is not an effort to obtain holiness by our works and our strength. It is an effort to rest in the presence of the Lord each day through faith in Him, where He, our eye is fully on Him. We're fully acknowledging Him. He's the most real, greatest, highest, most delightful, most amazing thing in our life. And when we see Him clearly like that, that's faith. And when we're in faith, we're resting. And when we're resting, we cease from our works and God starts to live through us. And now our thoughts are pure, not because we got our thoughts pure, but because it's Christ in us. All the doubts go away, not because we and our reasoning and our strength, our knowledge, we found God. We climbed the mountain and we reached the height and now we own the knowledge of God. No, no, no. It's because God allowed us. His Spirit reveals God. Didn't Jesus say it? No one can come to the Father through me, and no one can know me unless the Spirit lead him and reveal it to him. You see, it's an effort to acknowledge before God, I am nothing. You are everything. You are real. You are God. You are here. Your promises are true. I worship you, God. And you praise the Lord in faith, in spirit, in truth. And then he takes over. He starts to flow. Rivers of living water flow in you. And all the doubts, all the fears, the temptations, everything just goes away. Not because of us, but because of him. He is now in control. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's read some scriptures that talk about this rest. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see what it says here? When you trust in him, then his work is revealed. He makes you holy. He does it all. It's his workmanship, his work of art. And he said he created us for good works that we did? No, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We walk in the good works, you know? We're walking in it and we're looking around and we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. Jesus is so full of love and I feel his love in my heart and for other people. And Jesus is so holy and pure and I feel his purity and his love in my life. But it's not me. We're just walking in it, but we're not it. It's Jesus. And that's what he's calling us to. As it says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God is the one that puts it in you to do his will, and the power to do it, it's all from him. It's all from him. And that's what he wants us to walk in, but we must trust. Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." That is where our strength, that is where our confidence is, in resting in God. You remember Psalm 23. Let's read this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I mean, this is a psalm of pure rest. He compares himself to a lamb, a sheep, completely defenseless, can't really do anything on its own. It's just following the shepherd, protected by the shepherd. The shepherd does everything for him. Ultimately, that is our attitude that we must have with our God. We must be at rest by faith and trusting in him every day. Praise his holy name. And like I said, it does take an effort. Like it says in Hebrews 4, you have to labor, fight to enter to that rest. You know, every morning I wake up around 6 in the morning and I do my devotion. I spend some time in prayer, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. And what am I doing during that time? Am I strong? Am I claiming victory in my own strength? Am I getting my thoughts right? Am I somehow impressing God with my amazing thoughts and my good worship, which is coming from my own strength? No. I'm there on my knees, trying to get to the point of rest, trying to get to the point of true faith. And I stay there until I get there. That's what that prayer time is for. It's to fight against what? Against my pride, against my self-confidence, against my hypocrisy, against all that stuff that made Adam and Eve choose the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. I sit there and I undo that choice. And I say, Jesus, I refuse that. I choose you, the tree of life. Lord, I'm not feeling the faith. I'm not feeling your peace. I'm not at rest. Lord, show me what's wrong. Father, examine me and know me. And if there be any perverse way in me, purify me. And I stay there, and the Spirit starts to work with me and to call me to repent, to confess. And he starts to lead me to repentance and to true faith. And it's a battle, brothers and sisters. I fight sometimes before I get to that point of rest. But my effort is not in trying to be a good person and impress God. My effort is to trust that he is good, that he loves me, he's real, that he is here with me, that he is enough for me, that he is my everything, and to rest in him. God is so amazing. I want to read a little message which one of our youth here in Fort Worth received. After he received the Holy Spirit, God gave him several messages, and he wrote them down. And this is one that God gave for him specially, but it really helped me. And listen to this. This is what God told him. When will you understand? When will you learn? It is not by your strength nor by your knowledge that you will find the purpose of your design. Surrender. Surrender your thoughts. Surrender your judgments. Surrender your mind to me. I alone can stop the doubts. I alone can reveal the truth. I will empower my children, but you must be empty. That's that rest. Do you wish to see the mountains move? Do you wish to see the bread multiplied? It is not by your sight that you will see. It is not by your mind that you will understand. Surrender to the kingdom above. Surrender your steps to me. Be guided by my spirit. Pray, fast, and read. This will lead you to surrender. Only then will you find my joy. Only then will you find shalom, which is peace. The Spirit will orchestrate. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to give up your own efforts, your own knowledge, your own ability to know good and evil and to make your own choices and become a fool in the eyes of the world anyways? Become a child. Become a little lamb and fight the good fight of faith. Put the effort to trust, labor to rest, to trust in the Lord. That has transformed my life. I no longer live a stressed out, anxious life of defeat, nor do I have victory in my own strength. I fight to rest. I labor to trust. And when I do, when I believe, I see the glory of God. For the Lord is my shepherd. Praise his holy name.